The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Good morning. Please be seated. We have an interesting image today in the Gospel of Matthew. And the Gospel of Matthew begins with Jesus going up a mountain. And he begins to speak to the crowds, to the disciples, and everyone that's there. And the image that comes to my mind is Moses, the idea of Moses giving the Ten Commandments, commanding from God these new ways of things to do and not to do. And I get the image that now that Jesus is not telling us so much or commanding us what to do, but a way of being in the world, a way of addressing and a way of enlarging a certain reality that he's calling us to incarnate, which is the kingdom of heaven. And what he says, approximately there are nine Beatitudes, and there's people will say there might be eight, or but I think there's nine, and I wonder why the tenth one is missing, like the first one, "I am the Lord your God," because maybe that's implied. Maybe that's implied when Jesus first gets up the mountain, he begins to speak. He doesn't have to say that he is God, or he doesn't have to say that he's speaking on behalf of God, but there is a realization that maybe this guy has an incredible new way for us to see and to be in the world. There are about nine commandments, or nine beatitudes that he says, but there's one that sticks out for me today when he says, peacemakers. Blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they are the children of heaven. They are the children of God. And I wanted to focus on that because there's no question about us that we need peacemakers more than anything in the world today, especially. There's a lot of tension, there's a lot of discord, there's a lot of conflict all over the world, and this peace is something that we've always wanted. If you look back at history, you can read the history books and all the people say there they've always wanted peace. And peace is not just the absence of war, because we can not be in war, but we could be still very violent people in the way we handle our affairs, in the way we treat people, in the way we denigrate, in the way we trade or not trade or do all kinds of things. And so Jesus says, blessed are those who are the peacemakers, for they are children of God. And I'm trying to say, well, what children of God meaning in what regard? And I think it's because the children of God see like God sees. They act like God acts. They feel as though God feels. And what they're putting forth into a world is a larger vision than just the simple division that we find ourselves fighting over. When you think about wars, what are the things that bring war? Well, perhaps there's land. People want land, or they want money, they want resources. And I tell you, pretty soon people will be fighting over water. I mean, water is becoming quite precious in our time and age. And these are the things, the resources that people will fight over because they want them. And who usually fights? The people who have the best weapons. And the idea is that they do not see the other as other. They see the other side as a threat. They see the other side as an opponent, as a contestant, someone who wants to take away what they want. And so the thinking is very, very, very much bipartisan, and it's split between us and them. But the children of God that Jesus speaks of as peacemakers have a different way of looking at the world and have a different way of addressing problems in the world. And that means to include both sides, if possible, about the situation that's being argued over. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a newspaper guy or television guy who gets on the television, he says, "Today, war began between Iran and Iraq." Remember that several years back? And you say to yourself, it just happened? No, it didn't just happen. Somebody fired a shot, somebody crossed the border, somebody dropped a bomb, and there were some things that were being done, and then finally war broke out. And the reason why we don't want peace or can't find peace is because we don't know the steps of peace. We want peace to break out suddenly and freely and without any effort. But that's not what Jesus is asking us to do today. Peace is a fundamental attitude and work and sacrifice that one makes in the world to change the pattern of the world. Just like there was a one shot, maybe the border, maybe there was a bomb, there are different things that we can do to change the nature of things and to bring peace among us in the world. We can act in ways that are more inclusive. We can respect others in a way that makes them feel confirmed. We can be gentle. We can provide space for people to be who they are, explore who they are. I may have mentioned to you, since I worked in the prisons for many years, one of the things that I did there in order to try to quell some of the violence that is so very prevalent, because there are two emotions in prison, is anger or they laugh. And it really throws you off because you think they're having such a great time, but the anger is covered by the laughter. But generally, they're very upset. And a lot of times, a lot of the guys that come into prison really want to be somebody else. They really don't like being there. They really don't like being accused of the crime that they've committed. And so they have this image about themselves, and they already say, well, I'm going to get clean. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to go and get my high school diploma and maybe even go to college. And then they try to live into this reality. And so one of the things that they are doing is they're fighting each other because they disrespect each other. And one of the things I tried to do as priest, as chaplain there, was try to enter the space of that person. And even though that person was not telling me the truth, even though they were literally lying about who they are, it's more about lying who they want to be. And so I affirmed them there. I believed them. I act like I believed them, like the dumb friar. Oh, really? That is so cool. And you play the dumb friar. You know why? Because what you do at that person is you affirm them where they want to be. They're trying to get out of the mess that they're in. And I say, I see it. I believe it. I'm walking with you right there. And what that does, when you stand with somebody in where they want to be, is that they drop the anxiety and the anger and the defensiveness that they have around it. We do that with kids all the time. You know, that's why there's conflict with kids. Kids are trying to be something. If you go along with them, you can connect to them. And that's the key to peace, to connect to people, communion, conversation, dialogue. And the ability to then be able to bring together what they're trying to do and what you mean with them. This is I think this is one of the most important aspects of peace, because peace is not, it doesn't come because people always fight. We have one point of view and we have the other point of view, and people don't want to give anything up. They're so defensive. They even are offensive in what they're doing. And the children of God have a wider vision. The children of God are grounded in an understanding of God, that God is the God of all, right? And God loves us and cares for us. And if you have that grounding in your being and in your understanding, when someone comes with a difference, you can include that difference into the larger faith you say you have. But faith is not bipartisan. Faith is not Republican or Democrat. Faith is not white or black. Faith is something that undergirds all the differences and all the multiple understandings that we have. It is a way in which to be. It is a way in which to include and embrace the differences that are all around us. But even faith has come under attack, because we think faith is believing in certain things one way or the other. And if you don't believe this particular set of doctrines, then you're against this. Do you know how many Protestant denominations exist today? I don't know, maybe Father might know better. I think there are at least 7,000 to 8,000 different kinds of Protestant denominations. Isn't that ridiculous? But then where is the ground? Where is the ground in which we all meet as Christians? Can anybody even tell me what that is? Then you see, that's the essential aspect for peace, to be able to see the difference of the person in connection with the greater picture of who they are. And that's our challenge, to be able to bring people into that great hope and openness of God, so that they feel validated and included, and they're not so defensive about it. And so this is what Jesus is helping us to understand today by saying the peacemakers will be children of God. But you know, peace costs a lot, you know, and that's why it doesn't get done. You know, you can go to a hotel manager or motel manager, they believe in fire, right? They don't want fire in the hotel. But when you talked about fire prevention, that's a different story. You know why? Because it costs a lot of money, right, to get everything done. So when you talk about peace, everybody wants peace, but it takes work. It's not something that just springs up out of nowhere. And so we are in a position right now where the world is really divided. I try my best, like you, to get up in the morning and to find something to be happy about. Because it's so depressing. You know, you look around and so many, everybody's angry at something. Everybody's angry with each other. This is the time when you must shine. This is the time when you, as Christians, must be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. And you must really be able to bring the peace where you are. How many husbands and wives, who's a peacemaker there, right? Sometimes you can have an argument with your wife or with your husband, and you have several ways to deal with that. One of the ways to deal with it is to continue to fight until you destroy the marriage. Or there's another nicer way to do that. You can bury it. And then what we call the ninja flashes out every so often, and she cuts you apart. You know, 10 years down the line, oh, I remember that. We don't do that. Of course not. Well, the other thing is to talk about what's going on and be able to share and see, okay, I didn't understand that difference. I'm sorry. Let's see what we can work together. There is always other ways to deal with problems. There's always new answers. There's always multiple ways of dealing with situations. We think it's only one way or the other, and that's our own limitation. And this is why we keep bumping our heads and having difficulties with each other. People are capable of change. But you have to believe in the future of the relationship in order to make that change reality. You cannot just protect the past or what it was then and say that it has to be again the same way. Why not try something new? Why not try a new way of being with that person? A new way of communicating and sharing with that individual. Try doing things different with that individual. And you begin to develop a deep relationship with that person. You know, that's why we do things with each other. That's why we go for a walk. That's why we have coffee. That's why we do the laundry together. That's why we throw the garbage out. You know, all these things that we do gives us a sense of connection because we're doing it together. And that deepens the relationship, right? How many, some of you are married 40, 50 years. You even look like each other. You know, that's the scary part. You look like each other. But the idea is that you really pick up the essence of the person. You know that person even before they speak. You sense them. You understand them. You know the ground of their being. You feel their spirit, right? It's because you've been with them. You've worked with them. You followed and shared with them, you know? And I'll be honest, this is the way to know God, to read God's word, to pray, to meditate, to contemplate, to do all these things is to grow closer to God, to behold the beauty of nature, to be enchanted by the variety of things that are around us. This is how we know God. This is how we feel the more than we. This is how we touch the hem of the holy. This is where we stay in the numinous. This is where we grasp the divine. We have to be able to go beyond ourselves. It is not about me only. This world is not here for me only. This truth is not my truth. This reality is not just my reality. This is something that can help me connect with you in the larger picture of life. And when we do that, we then sing together. We rejoice together with the beauty that we can see together. Some people live their life this way, you know, but they never come this way. The idea is to live this way so you can bring together what you have and share it and brings you closer. So blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And Jesus is teaching us a new way of being. When I was in the Baptist church, they used to call it the Beatitudes, right? I used to get a kick out of that because it's something new. It's a way of being in the world. The commandments are very important and very beautiful, but there's a different sense to them. You get a sense that you're being told. You're being told do and do not with the Beatitudes. And especially when he says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who suffer and are persecuted and all that, he's guaranteeing us a whole new promise. He's bringing to us a whole new sense of excitement and a kingdom that is just at the very edge of our desire, just at the edge of our grasping it. And we can accomplish it. Now, I know and I really anticipate that you all really got this sermon, okay, and that you're all fired up. And that you're ready to go out into the world. And you're ready to bring peace to the world. And really you can. You can do it in the small things. The ripple goes out in the lake far, doesn't it? When you throw the first pebble. And anything we do affects many, many people. You don't know. You know, I always give you the example. You go for your coffee at the 7-Eleven and the girl there has something else on her mind. Maybe she had a problem with her husband or something and she's not the most kind to you. And you get upset, you know, and you get in your car and you stream off the car and you're driving around, you get into an accident or something, God forbid. And it all started with this one little event. You see how it can affect so many other people. And there were four people in the other car. How about if you do something good? You might say thank you, even though she doesn't say it. Or you might offer a kindness, whether she or he cannot do it. And then you can put into effect, you can change the context by your presence and by your activity in that context. You see, this is where the world changes. This is where the kingdom comes. This is why you are important and meaningful in wherever you are. Shine where you are. Proclaim the gospel of good news where you are. And offer hope and offer opportunity for people where you are. And you'll make a difference. You really will. I mean, I've seen it. People have done it to me. I told you one time, and I'll say it, and then I'll shut up. I guess sometimes, you know, you just want to talk, you know. I haven't seen you since last week, you know. There was one time I was going through something in the bureau in my work. It was a terrible time in my life for 2 years. And when I just started the situation, I was so down in the dumps. And I really was depressed. And so I went to the shopping mall around where I live. Maria was getting something, and I was sitting there. And out of nowhere, a homeless guy comes to me and he says, "Hey, do you like chocolate muffins?" He says, I can't eat chocolate muffins, but I want you to have it." And I cried. I cried right there because that was a touching moment for me. I was affirmed. I was touched. I was reminded that even in the darkness, I am not invisible. So you can make the differences in the world. And this is why we come to church, to get armed, to get informed, to get spiritualized and in love again so that we can go and do something in the world. We need you more than ever. Please go into the world and do good. Please go into the world and bring hope. Please bring into the world and bring love. This is what we are about. Amen.